This is the Poetry Foundation's Essential American Poets podcast. Essential American Poets is an online audio poetry collection. The poets included in the collection were selected in 2006 by Donald Hall when he was poet laureate. Recordings of the poets he selected are available online at poetryfoundation.org and poetryarchive.org. In this edition of the podcast, we'll hear poems by Heather McHugh. Heather McHugh was born in 1948 and raised in rural Virginia by Canadian parents. She began writing poetry at a young age and says she'd become an expert eavesdropper by age 12. As an undergraduate at Harvard University, she studied with Robert Lowell and had her first poem published in The New Yorker. In the decades to follow, McHugh received multiple teaching appointments, artist colony residencies, and several NEA grants. McHugh's poetry takes language itself as a point of departure for pursuing philosophical concerns. Her poems spark with syntactic twists, puns, and rhymes, all of which mingle with her characteristic wit and observation. Richard Howard has said that her work uses a sense of wonder as an instrument of cognition. Her poetry conveys a consciousness of the limits of speech and an awareness of time passing. She's been the Milliman Writer-in-Residence at the University of Washington in Seattle since 1984. The following poems were recorded in New York City in 2007.
Acts of God. I owe these two poems to human voices I heard at different times on NPR. I tried to catch the flavor and, in some cases, the parlances of what they said. The first one was a woman whose language I didn't know. Her English was pretty fractured, and it was immediately compelling because you couldn't tell to what degree the fracture of the English was a question of her command of the language or a question of the pressure of the event she was talking about. Tornado. I said the people come inside. They would be safe in the building. So many of those people die. You can see my guilt. I could see hands to a lady moving. I knew the lady. You can see my guilt. Sometimes I want to run to get away from it. I ask forgiveness night and day. I ask it from the cemetery. I can never dream this storm away. It was over for maybe minutes. Then it was never over. Two, lightning. It pushed me backwards. I could see my friends go backwards, too, as from a blast, but slowly, very slowly, everything was in a different time. It burned inside my body. I could feel my hands curl up. My pocket got on fire. I didn't want to reach in there and take a handful of the hot. My money hurt. I'm different now forever. Put that fact into your book. My hair used to be straight. My eyes, you see, they're gray as ash. They used to be light blue. You live if you're lucky. But take my word. It changes how you look. What he thought. We were supposed to do a job in Italy, and full of our feeling for ourselves, our sense of being poets from America. We went from Rome to Fano, met the mayor, posed for the photographers, and served on panels. What does it mean, flat drink, asked someone. What does it mean, cheap date? Among Italian literati, we could recognize our counterparts, the academic, the apologist, the arrogant, the amorous, the brazen, and the glib. And there was one administrator, the conservative, in suit of regulation gray, who, like a good tour guide with measured pace and uninflected tone, narrated sights and histories the hired van hauled us past. Of all, he was most politic and least poetic, so it seemed. Our last few days in Rome, when all but three of the New World bards had flown, I found a book of poems this unprepossessing one had written. It was there in the pensione room, a room he'd recommended, where it must have been abandoned by the German visitor. Was there a bus of them? To whom he had inscribed and dated it a month before. I couldn't read Italian either, so I put the book back in the wardrobe's dark. We last Americans were due to leave tomorrow. For our parting evening then, our host chose something in a family restaurant, and there we sat and chatted, sat and chewed, till, sensible, it was our last big chance to be poetic, make our mark, one of us asked. What's poetry? Is it the fruits and vegetables and marketplace of Campo dei Fiori, or the statue there? Because I was the glib one, I identified the answer instantly. I didn't have to think. The truth is both. It's both, I blurted out. But that was easy. That was easiest to say. What followed taught me something about difficulty. For our underestimated host spoke out, all of a sudden, with a rising passion. And he said, "That statue represents Giordano Bruno, brought to be burned in the public square because of his offense against authority, which was to say the church. His crime was his belief the universe does not revolve around the human being. God is no fixed point or central government, but rather is poured in waves through all things. All things move. If God is not the soul itself, he is the soul of the world." Such was his heresy. The day they brought him forth to die, they feared he might incite the crowd. The man was famous for his eloquence. And so his captors placed upon his face an iron mask in which he could not speak. That is how they burned him. That is how he died, without a word, in front of everyone. And poetry. We'd all put down our forks by now to listen to the man in gray. He went on softly, "Poetry is what he thought, but did not say." Every religion has its fanatics, and every religion has its wise voices, but they're not as frequently or loudly heard. It's the Talmud that says ambition destroys the heart it lives in. It was Muhammad says the ink of the scholar is more sacred than the blood of the martyr. And it's my Bulgarian husband who says many an ass has entered Jerusalem. This is a little poem of perhaps a slightly vengeful piece. No sex for priests. The horse in harness suffers. He's not feeling up to snuff. The feelers sensate, but the cook pronounces lobsters tough. The chain's too short. The dog's at pains to reach a sheaf of shade, one half a squirrel's squirming there upon the interstate. That ruff around the monkey's eye is cancer. Only God's impervious. He's deaf and blind, but he's not dumb. To answer for it all, his spokesmen aren't allowed to come. This one, Man in the Street, is occasioned by 9/11. Man in the street. He claps a hand across the gaping hole, or else the sight might well inside to melt the mind if any thinking spoke were in the wheel or any real fright fragments broke out of the gorge to soak the breast. The meaning might incite a stroke, best press against it, close the claw hole, stand in stupor, petrified, the dream be damned, the deeps defied, the hands to keep the scream inside. Sampling. When the table is turned, the hand resists. It's a drag. Then suddenly it's a rhythm section. Needle stick of stimulant for some two-timing touch, a centrifuge for boost and beat. It burns to move. It turns the tunes to hiccup arts all down the street. Such feline felonies, such licks of scratch, insinuated into sitting rooms where someone's upright grandma thinks of love and gets amen, amen, amen. All because bad vinyl snagged the handyman's attention.
That was Heather McHugh, recorded in New York City in 2007, and used by permission of the author and Wesleyan University Press. You've been listening to the Essential American Poets podcast, produced by the Poetry Foundation in collaboration with PoetryArchive.org. To learn more about Heather McHugh and other Essential American Poets, and to hear more poetry, go to poetryfoundation.org.